Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It is Friday. We've got a lot of shows in this week. Man, we had two yesterday. And I wanted two things today. I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to do a Friday afternoon show, see if there's any news. But I was like, man, the way I'm feeling right now, I don't know if you guys feel the same way or not. The vibes are just too good. Things are just going way too well. And the 49ers have been notorious for kind of these slow, plodding off-season free agency cycles where it's just like, man, this is not cool, not cool, not cool. This week has been absolutely incredible. Yeah, there were a couple lulls and, you know, after the Mike Evans deal and all those things, but man, you got the Osa trade, you're signing veteran depth, you're keeping some of your own guys, you bring back Dre Greenlaw, just vibes are so high. So, like, I got too excited, I just had to jump on. We got to talk football. There's so many great things that are going on right now with the 49ers that I couldn't wait. I was just too excited. So, welcome to the 49ers Rush Podcast. This is episode 1619. Off-season vibes through the roof. All good things. We're going to talk about all those. We're going to dive into a little bit of draft. We got some contract details finally starting to leak out with the Eddie Pinheiro deal. We're going to talk about that. And the Niners got $20 million adjusted cap from things that they didn't hit on last year, incentives, whatever else. So, man, $20 million extra. This was rather anticipated, but the exact amount, that is huge. And we're going to do it. Australia season freaking 49ers Rush behemoth whatever trip is now open. We're going to give more details to that, but if you just got to know, we're taking deposits for the all-inclusive, man, you're talking flights, hotels, everything. That's up on the 49ersrushroadtrip.com if you want to go check that out. We'll play a video. I've been working on a video all day. We'll play that a little later in the episode, so if that's something that interests you, that we're going to tease that a little bit later. Thank you to all the hashtag CCs. You guys are awesome. Just Silly Goose in first, Aaron second. What's up, Devin, my good friend, man? Glad that you are here. And Steven says, yeah, finally got a notification on time. Man, the notification system on YouTube, it's drunk. It always is. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. I've emailed and processed and gone through tutorials, and it's just always crazy. But I'm glad you're here, Steven. I appreciate you, man. All the hashtag CCs. You guys are great. Big Tone. John just blessed us all the podcasts this week. I know I was on vacation last week, and I hated that to y'all. But now, you know, shoot, we're here. And my job is to give you content. That's what I'm here for. And just finished hours ago recording Nate Hobbs' film breakdown, which tape was fun. Tape was fun. So the new cornerback that the 49ers signed, that tape breakdown's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Links are in the description of this video audio. You want to go check that out. And like, I will say this. There are several like threads or similarities between the players that the 49ers keep bringing in. They are looking for veteran consistency. Now, you're not paying premiums and getting the best of the best. Nate Hobbs got a $4 million deal, right? Like 1 year, $4 million deal. He's played a lot of football, you know, 5 years in his career, four with the Raiders, one with the Packers last year. And last year wasn't great, had some injuries. But, man, you watch the tape, and it's like, okay, football IQ off the charts. The anticipation, the awareness, you read that nonstop. Physicality, dude loves to play against the run and the screen game. He will fill that role. Is he an elite cover guy? No. Is he a bad cover guy? Also no. But you're starting to build some veteran depth behind your starter. You're returning all of your cornerbacks, all of them that started. Upton Stout, he's your number one. He's going to be your slot guy. Diamador Lenore, if you want to say he's your number one, that's cool. But I am all in on the Upton Stout train. And then Renardo Green, there's some question marks there, but he was your number two kind of last year. You've got Darrell Luter Jr., who was your prime backup last year. And now you have Nate Hobbs, who could step into that big nickel role. And probably one of my favorite things about Nate Hobbs, versatility. 6 foot, 195 pounds. He could play both safety positions if he had to. He could play the big nickel. He could play regular nickel. He could play both outside corners. He's done a lot of that in college. And the, like, you just have now a prime backup and versatility for all of your defensive back spots. So I love that. Veteran depth is needed. Veteran depth is what quality teams get to establish. And Nate Hobbs fits that. And it's a value deal. You got Mike Evans below market value. You got Osa Odighizuwa below market value. You got Dre Greenlaw below market value. Get Nate Hobbs below market value. See what he got, just a year ago with the Packers, got injured, didn't live up to that. You're getting these, I don't want to call them bargain bin, you're getting value deals on the free agency market because you're not paying the going rate. Mike Evans chose you. The financial details aren't out on that one, but not bad. That contract, dude, the rumors were $27 million for a year, like all that kind of stuff. Like, man, I freaking love it. Rick, appreciate you, man. Glad that you guys are here. Yeah, hit that like button. What's up, Devin? Appreciate you guys. What's up, Grumbles 2010 in there? What's up, JP Hellehard, my good friend, man? It's good to see you. Colin from way across the world. Glad to see you here. Right here, Kawachipto, I would restructure Osa for an extra $12 million in cap. This is kind of like, I would not be upset if they restructured Osa Odighizuwa's contract at all. However, I am always a little bit reluctant to do so right off the bat. When you get a new piece, you're not sure how that's going to quote unquote shake out. $16 million cap hit this year. That's way below market value for what Osa brings. But then no guaranteed money on year two or year three. You could add a year, which, I mean, he's young. He's going to be 28 this season. You get to add a year. You could just do, you know, literally create a new signing bonus, and that could create your $12 million you're talking about, Kawachipto. I just always like verification. I want to see that Osa can contribute at the level you are hoping he can before you do that deal. I'm always just a little hesitant of the major trade, which third round pick's not major, and extension on top of never playing in our scheme or our, like, I want to see what it goes. Now, you get through the first month of the season and he's been as advertised, stays healthy, which he's only missed one game in his entire career. Yeah, then get that done. That gives you all that cap space. Then for the trade deadline, you can kind of get aggressive. So I want to pump the brakes just a little bit, but I wouldn't be upset if they did. So, like, that's kind of where I am. Like I'm straddling the fence on this one, which I don't like to do. But I'm like, man, let's wait and see on the Osa thing. Now, if you're going to turn around and put that $12 million cap savings into a starter level safety or another wide receiver or a left guard or, you know, fill in the blank. All right, speed edge rusher. Okay, cool. But part of me says, let's wait and see. Let's hold back. You don't have to. You got 3 years to make a deal on Osa, but let's wait and see. Let's make sure you're getting what you want. But Kawachipto, always appreciate you and what you bring to the table. Grumbles, I was pretty down on the Niners. Didn't think they could fill all their holes with the resources they had. Then Mike Evans signed, got hopeful, then a baller DT, and then Greenlaw. Dude, I'm so excited. And I'm getting messages, emails. My inbox is blowing up. Social media is blowing up because people just want to talk Niners. And so that's why I was like, dude, I got to go live. People want to discuss the 49ers. This is my damn job. I got to get there. And so, yeah, Grumbles, I feel very similar to how you feel and kind of what you're putting out there. The vibes, like, goodness, we haven't felt this way in an offseason. And remember, just look at last year. You signed zero starters, offense or defense last year. Zero. You've already added three, maybe more, if, you know, Nate Hobbs starts or you know, you're going to go Vidarian Lowe kicks inside. I doubt Brett Toth starts, you know, something along those lines. But you've got three starters, no question. Osa's starting. Mike Evans is starting. Dre Greenlaw started. Three new ones. Haven't felt that way in a while. What's up, Big Pop? Appreciate you, man. Steven, I know we don't go after Diggs, but the thought of Pearsall, Evans, and Diggs in the slot would be nice. That would be nice. Stephon Diggs is a great football player. Off the field, whole different story. Niners have stayed away from those types of guys. That court case still hasn't been resolved. But yeah, Diggs would fit in a major need. Then your wide receiver room is top 10. Like, that's a top 10 wide receiver room if you added him. What's up, Khalil? Appreciate you, man. Yeah, right here, Paul. Free agency absolutely throwing our mock drafts into the bin. Time to reevaluate the needs of round one, round two. You know what's crazy? I haven't done a mock draft yet. I know a lot of the other Niners people are, and that's awesome. I love them. I watch them. I read them, all those. I haven't done a mock draft yet. I've been waiting because I knew stuff was coming. And I get way more clicks whenever I do them. Don't worry. You're going to get all the Chapman mock drafts that you could ever want during this draft thing. I've tried my hardest to just be in the moment a little bit more this offseason. And yeah, we're working on draft stuff all day, every day. We've got a crew of five freaking studs that are just grinding out stuff for our draft book. How many pages are we up to? 130 pages written. We've got 200 plus players. We're grading, evaluating, you know, analytics, and you know, that's all available. Early April, we put out our draft book. This is the 10th draft book. Is that true? 10 years? It's crazy. Anyway, man, we've been doing this for a long time, but we put that out week one, April, hopefully week one, unless something crazy happens. But, yeah, that's available to everybody that supports us on Patreon, any level, and everybody that supports us at the 49ersrush.com, any level. It's just a way to say thank you. And, man, if you haven't subscribed yet, go check it out over there. That's how we, you know, I pay the bills and feed the family. So if you like what we do, go support us over there. We have tiers as low as $2. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. But yeah, mock drafts will be coming soon. No doubt about that. Niner Zeno, John, can you give us the latest info on the Brandon Ayuk release? Yeah, no new news. Now, the 49ers have been adamant. He's not playing anymore. But what the 49ers are doing, there's no timetable to hurry up. If you hurry up, and let's say you release him now, you have two options. You can release him pre-June 1, or you could release him now with the post-June 1, which spreads out the cap hit over 2 years, which is what they'll do. However, if a team does want to trade for him, you cannot trade a post-June 1 trade. You can't do that unless it's after June 1st, where you can spread that cap hit out over 2 years. So if you were to just release them right now, you could release them pre or designate a post-June 1. But the Niners are hoping somebody's going to want to trade for them. I absolutely love this. And again, I'm petty. This is my own self-evaluation. I could be way wrong. Every time I meet somebody new, they have the opportunity to become my best friend. This is a character flaw, but I kind of like the way that I do things, right? So, like, I'm the type of guy that gets taken advantage of a lot of times because I will bend over backwards to help people. Like, that's just who I am. That's who I've been. That's how I was raised. It's whatever. And yeah, been taken advantage of, but I don't ever want to let that change me, right? Like, just because you suck, that's not my fault. Like, in Southern hospitality, whatever you want to put in there. However, you have the opportunity to be my best friend. If you want that, that's cool. It will, like, there's always space for more. However, you screw people over, you take advantage of people, you hurt people, whatever, like, and I see you treat other people in a poor way. Dude, I flipped the switch rather quick. Character flaw, I understand that. I've gone to therapy. Some of it I'm working on. Some of it I don't want to work on. But the idea is this. Like, dude, I get petty quick. And you hurt people. You hurt people I care about. Yeah, you take advantage of other people and their hospitality or whatever else. Dude, I get petty and I hold grudges way too well. It's a problem. So with Brandon Ayuk, I mean, shoot, that's my son's favorite player. Bought him a jersey, all that stuff. He would wear the Ayuk jersey all the time. That dude screwed over this football team and every single person in that locker room. He screwed over that coaching staff. He screwed over this fan base for his own personal gain. And that's all he cared about. Nothing else. You have his own coach, wide receiver coach, TJ Hazemanila, out there saying, yeah, you got to be careful with this dude. It's crazy what he's done. I'm not making it easy on Brandon Ayuk at all. I'm going to be as petty. I'm going to hold on to him to the last minute. Because if you cut Brandon Ayuk, if you release him now, he just gets to go sign with whatever team he wants. No. And people have said, like, man, that's bad business practice, and you don't want other people to feel this way, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, you're just being petty. Like, yes, yeah. I don't, like, if you look at the Brandon Ayuk situation and you're faulting the Niners, I understand there's two people, and there's two sides and whatever else. They tried to trade him. That's the whoopsie after they paid him way more than he was worth. Man, get the hell out of here. You're on the wrong side of that one. You're on the wrong side. So, yes, I want to be petty. I want to be bitter. I want to hold this grudge. I want to make it as hard for him to play for another team as possible unless we get reimbursed something. And I say we because the cap and draft picks and all that stuff affects the team. I'm a fan of the team. I do say we, and I understand that bothers other people. That's okay. You don't have to watch my face, which I don't blame you. everybody's not as pretty as me, right? Anyway, but yeah, so I want to make it as hard on Brandon Ayuk as possible. I want to be petty, and with there's no reason to release him now. The only way that would help anybody is that would help Brandon Ayuk. That is not the top of my priority. It's not anywhere except at the bottom of my priority list. So, sorry, BA, you sitting still. And it seems like that is the approach the 49ers are taking. Even if it's just you might get a seventh-round pick out of it, cool. And if not, then guess what? We're going to hold you till post-June 1, and we'll release you then after the draft where there's not that many wide receiver spots available because every single team already filled their spots through free agency in the draft. That's just kind of who I am. I am a nice person, but yeah, at that point, dude, screw you, bro. Screw you and your team. That's just the way I see it. Now, Paul right here, he says, I hear that, John. BA was my favorite Niner a few years ago. I'm all the way out on him now. Make it tough for him to be. Yeah. Like, you know what he wants to do. He wants to go to the Commanders. I do not want to make that easy. Right here, Sir Kaiser, I'd rather Ayuk lose as much money as possible. And, like, understand, we are the podcast that celebrates every deal and is so happy when people get paid. I don't want this dude to get paid. I do not. Great One says, free Ayuk. I love this. Quid, I'm on your page. And it's okay to disagree. Like, I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I'm telling you my stance. I'm telling you what the 49ers are currently doing aligns with that. We ain't going to make it easy on him. You're going to screw us over. I like the Devontae Campbell stuff. Screw that dude over. The Niners did as much as they possibly could to make things as hard as possible for him. You do the same damn thing to Ayuk. You F with us. We're going to make it as hard as possible. That's just the way it goes. What's up? ULI, appreciate the super chat. Solid move so far, but our safeties are still bad. Yes, they are. Which safeties do you think we should go after? I'm fine with so many different positions. The safety is so devalued in today's NFL. You have three young guys. Malik Mustafa, Marquise Siegel, and then you got Jair Brown. That's the order I have for those three safeties. You look at what's out there. Nick Scott, I would love him. Xavier Woods, I'd be fine with him. Tony Jefferson, he's 34, but still would be fine with him. Andrew Sisco, I'd be happy with him. Ashton Davis, I'd be cool with him. Harrison Smith's retired. Geno Stone, he's a little bit more pricey, but still Donovan. Like, there's so many out there. But the 49ers have shown they're not going to pay safeties. They've never paid safety since Kyle Shanahan showed up. They just haven't. Jimmy Ward, kind of, but they moved him to nickel, and then they let him go. Like, he wasn't, you know, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch didn't draft Jimmy Ward, and he's available out there now, but no, don't bring him back. I think that I don't want another young safety, but it's a major need. It really, really is. So I don't think that they're going to sign another safety. I think they're okay with the three guys they have, and they're going to see if maybe safety that they love drops to them in the draft in the fourth round, or, you know, kind of see how that goes. And I'm going to be really honest with you. Like, I might be kind of the lone wolf on this one. I really think that they should go after an edge rusher, wide receiver, offensive lineman in the first round. I believe that. But there is a safety. There's three safeties, in fact. Dylan Thienemann out of Oregon. This player is badass. And he would, like, do I want to spend a first-round pick on a safety? I don't. But if you did, if, like, he is a playmaker, and he fits perfectly what the 49ers need. 6'2", 201. That is the ideal build for a 49ers DB. 4.37 yard, 40 yard dash. Down, here's my draft write up on him. Comes downhill in a hurry with bad intentions. He could play everywhere. He could play strong safety, free safety, nickel, outside corner if you needed to, but safety's his best spot. Very savvy for a 3-year player. NFL size, speed, versatility teams look for. Productive in three seasons, 306 tackles, 8 interceptions. Football IQ's one of his strongest traits. So you have athleticism and you've got experience. You got speed. You got toughness. Just check, 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 check. Energy guy, very consistent pursuit, range, tracking ability. I freaking love this dude. Amazing eyes. A big reason why I don't like D winners. Dirty eyes. Thienemann sees everything. So maybe the 49ers are like, look, if one of these three safeties falls to us at number 27, we could take that. But, and I'm not saying I want them to draft Dylan, a safety, you know, Dylan Thienemann in the first round. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I would understand it. I'm pretty big on, you know, going after those premium positions. But at the back end of round one, and this draft is weird because I'm only going to have like 15 first round grades, and Thienemann's right there. So if you get him at 27, that's there. Right here, Kalo says, yeah, Thienemann at Purdue was a different safety than he was at Oregon. Played more in the box. Yes, yes. Oh, what's up, Lieutenant Simple Jack? We got Rob Lauder. What's up, man? He says, the 49ers might have gained a safety with the combinations of Hobbs and Stout. Raheem Morris might get weird. Let's get weird is one of my life sayings. Why not? Have a good time. Have fun. I don't think that you move Stout. I'm cool moving Hobbs. And I do think that Hobbs could play safety. I think Stout could play safety. I value the nickel corner spot head and shoulders above the safety position. I really, really do. But yeah, you have that flexibility now where you could do some weird stuff. Could Stout play safety? 1,000%. Yeah. Stout could play anything. Like Stout could play anything. I'm so bullish on Upton Stout. And if you want to move Hobbs to the nickel, big nickel role, and you want to move, like, as long as he's on the damn field. My biggest complaint with Robert Saleh was, why the hell did Upton Stout play 17 snaps in that Seattle game? That's it. That Seattle playoff blowoff game. He played 17 snaps. Nah. Yeah, you got to get Stout on the field. Got to get him on the field. You do. Crazy Juice, yeah, I really like Thinneman. Yeah, he's a fun player, man. Now, do you take him that high? I don't know. Can Hobbs play outside? Yes, he can. The answer is yes, he can. Let me pull up just real quick. I just finished the Nate Hobbs film breakdown. And so let's see here. Out wide corner just last year with the Packers, Nate Hobbs. Out wide snaps, 232. Slot corner snaps, 86. So even last year was like a 3-to-1 ratio. You go to 2024 season, he played out wide 100 snaps and 304 slot snaps, you know, inside. 2023, out wide 111, slot 500. He's played both throughout his career. But you go back to 2022 for Nate Hobbs, 500 snaps out wide, 106 in the slot. So he's got experience all over the place. The 6 foot, 195 pounds, that is built. That's their prototypical corner that they want. You all throughout the Shanahan regime, 6 foot, 200 pounds, it's what they want as a defensive back because you can move them. So, yeah, Hobbs can play outside. Probably better the closer you get him to the line of scrimmage because he is aggressive. He's not a thumper, but he plays well in the box. And yeah, start Hobbs over Green. That keeps Stout in the slot. I think there's going to be a competition there. Renardo Green is so much more talented than Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs brings football IQ. He's so calm, cool, and collected. Like, the film breakdown I did was the Bears week 16, 2025 game, which went into overtime. And like, my thing about Hobbs is like, I call him a duck. It don't matter if it's fourth quarter, they're driving overtime, they're driving to win the game, whatever else. He's calm, cool, collected. Feet are always kind of chill, poise. He's not a panicker. IQ, savvy, communicator, that's physically tough. The problem with Hobbs, his coverage skills are not great. That's why you're getting him for $4 million. Renardo Green's a better cover guy, but he doesn't have those other things. He's not calm, cool, collected. He panics. He does not have football IQ, some of the worst decision-making process. That's why Shanahan yells at him all the time. He's physical. That fits. But he just makes bad choices. But he's a young guy. He's going into his third year. So, like, you have this look. I think you roll with Renardo Green. His ceiling is so much higher if you keep him. Nate Hobbs is your fallback, right? Or Nate Hobbs is if anybody gets injured, or Nate Hobbs is your big nickel if you want to do that. Like, there's a way. Find a way to get the best five out there. Nate Hobbs fits a lot of what you don't currently have. And so that's out there. Right here. Can Hobbs and Green do the fusion dance? Yeah, right. Bring them together, man. Get them together. Right here, Jax. John, with what we've done, ooh, I want to save this one. With what we have done so far in free agency, who you take it at number 27? I want a premium edge rusher. Like, right now, my two guys, yeah, I've said this, like, I want Cassius Howell of A&M, and I hate A&M, but that speed edge rusher guy. Or I want Chris Brazel II for University of Tennessee. I hate Tennessee, too. It's a fake UT. Like, two of the schools I hate, two of the uniforms I hate more than anything, but I try my hardest not to scout the uniform or the helmet. I scout the player. Like, I want those two guys. If I could get one of those two guys, now there's guys I like way more than them, but that have realistic options of being there at 27. So, like, me right now, Jax, if you're asking me, I would say Cassius Howell, edge speed rusher off the edge, who I think will fall to 27 or around there because his arms are so small. Or give me Chris Brazel II, let him learn behind Mike Evans for a year or two, and he could play that big slot, take the top off, whatever, and work him in. Those are the two guys right now I'd be totally cool with. There's a lot of other guys, but you ask me right now, Those are the two guys I'm going for. Now, here we go. Our big announcement. Australia. We're going down under, baby.
49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announcement of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event.
All right. If you guys want to know more about that, go check that out, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. I'm so pumped about this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Right here, Kenny, what if they trade pick 27 for more picks? You're not missing anything. The back end of the first round is where a lot of, you know, kind of bouncing around happens because, again, teams are very similar. Like, it's very common to have anywhere between 12 to 20 first round grades. Well, you're picking 27. How often is it that you're picking in the quote unquote first round that you get a first round type player at pick 27? Not likely. Now, every GM will get up there and say, oh, we had a first round grade on him and we didn't think he'd be there and we thought we'd trade up and blah, 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 blah. Those are there. I am fine trading back out of that. If the 49ers used the fifth-year option, that would be a different thing, but they never damn do. If they did, on Brandon Ayuk, we wouldn't be in this mess anyway, and you could have just walked away and everything been fine, but that's okay. That's okay. The difference is, like, I am fine trading out. You have to have somebody willing to trade in, and so, like, doing those preconceived trades don't happen a lot. Because what if somebody falls? You talk about like the Laremy Tunsil thing or, you know, the Jalen Carter thing or like you never know how that board goes. Nobody went to his birthday party. Why didn't anybody go to your birthday party? Like those just whatever things happen. So I am all for trading back, especially with the Niners only having 6 draft picks now. That's problematic because with only 6 and no pick of the 3rd round, no pick of the 5th round, no pick of the 6th round, no pick of the 7th round, like you're going to be watching a lot. So if you can manipulate the board a little bit to give you some flexibility and to find value, because guys are going to fall in every round. And this is probably one of my least favorite things about the draft. Picking at pick 27, there's just certain guys you can't get. Those guys that you have top 15 rated, you can't get them. And not only that, the players that are ranked kind of 35 through 50, you don't have a shot at them either. Because you don't want to reach on them, or you could trade back, like then you could have that shot. But like you're picking 27, you're picking 59. There's 30 spots between there. So like you see what I'm saying? Like it just makes it difficult. So I am all for trading around. All for it. it's going to be a little difficult to figure that out until you're there. And you've heard John Lynch talk multiple times. Yeah, you know, we kind of found sticking around in our spot is kind of what we prefer. And just staying there and taking a guy. That's what he said last year. So, you know, they traded. He broke the record for most trades ever, I think, on his first draft. And now you look at it, just kind of sit tight. That seems to kind of be the approach. So that's there. Yeah, I like Zion Young. I think he's a damn good player. He's not really the speed edge guy that I think the Niners need. I thought that the 49ers needed that even before Bryce Huff retired. But again, Bryce Huff wasn't going to be a part of this team whether he retired or not. And so I got people like, man, wish he wouldn't have retired. Like, 49ers were going to cut him. That's just what was going to happen. The timing of it kind of signifies that. The tape for sure signified that. I like Zion Young, and I think that he could go around that pick 27. He is not your speed guy. He is 6'6", 262, with long-ass arms, and he's great. Like, I'm not sitting here saying he's great. And so, like, a lot of people, like, I put out a KC Concepcion video, wide receiver for A&M, and people were like, you said not to take him. And I was like, yeah, I did. Then you signed Mike Evans. Now you can take him. I still don't have a first-round grade on him. I think it's a little bit of a reach. I wouldn't prefer to take KC Concepcion at 27, but I understand it. You have to fit the needs that this team has. That's the way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch draft. That's the way they build through the draft early. Like they do not draft best player available early. Never have. You can complain and say that's stupid, and I would agree with you, but that doesn't change the fact that they've never done it. They go after needs at premium positions early in the draft, period. We've got 9 years of it now, going on year 10. Don't expect that to change. Best player available, fourth round, sure. First, second round, nope. That is not what the 49ers do. They never have. They address needs at premium positions. And so, like, I just did that whole diatribe about, like, it'd be cool to get the safety Thienemann, but, like, it's not really in their cards. They don't even draft safeties, right? So I like, yeah, Captain Rush. I like Zion Young. I really, really do. But they need a speed edge rusher. Zion Young ain't that. He didn't even run a 40. He's one of the slower defensive ends on tape. We'll see what he does at his pro day. Maybe he can surprise. And he's a great guy, great player. I am not mad if they draft him, but it's not the need that they have. You have Mikal Williams. You have Nick Bosa locked up for multiple years. Terradove says, yeah, look at that. Birthday party draft day reference. That's right. Everybody take a drink. Williams says, if Chris Bell can stay healthy, I think he has that T.O. type of play. Yes, he does. Chris Bell's awesome. It was injured, you know, late. But now the 49ers have wide receivers where you don't have to depend on Chris Bell. Where do you take him? I don't take him in the first round. If he falls to the second round, if you trade back from the first round or trade up from the second round, then I'm cool with Chris Bell. I love Bell as well. But I don't think that I don't see it at pick 27. That's all I can say. Right here, Logan, for all the people talking about trading Mac Jones, it's looking less and less likely. You know, this is in my notes too. Look at what the 49ers are doing. You're going and getting veteran established players. Nate Hobbs, veteran established player. Dre Greenlaw, veteran established player. Mike Evans, veteran established. Osa, veteran established. Brett Toth, veteran established. Vidarian Lowe, veteran established. These aren't gambles. These aren't what it, like, you, the 49ers, for all the people for so long that have said, why don't the 49ers go all in or whatever? Like, this is what that would look like with this coaching staff and front office. They are going after, we're trying to build something right now without sacrificing long-term. How does Mac Jones fit into that? Yes, you need more draft picks. Do you make the playoffs last year without Mac Jones? You do not. You're talking about a team that is the most injured team over the past decade. You've had one season where you weren't super injured, and that was 2023, and you should have won the Super Bowl. You didn't. Missed it in overtime. A whole different conversation. But, man, you've been injured so much. If Brock Purdy misses time again, with this roster, how long is CMC going to play? How long is Trent Williams going to play? How long is George Kittle going to play? How long is Mike Evans going to play? Do you want to miss this window because Brock Purdy misses three games and you go 0-3 with the backup quarterback? This is not me. This is not my logic. This is what the 49ers are telling us. With all these veteran established players that they continue to assemble. So the question then becomes, why trade Mac Jones for a third round pick or even a back end second round pick if you know Brock Purdy, if like Brock Purdy gets hurt, we're fine. If Brock Purdy gets hurt and we got Mac Jones, we're fine. This whole year can continue. If Brock Purdy goes down, vibes don't change, right? Not if you got Mac Jones. Now you trade Mac Jones for number 70th overall pick or whatever you want to put out there. Might not make the playoffs if Brock Purdy misses time. If you got Mac Jones, you're making the playoffs. You made the playoffs last year with Mac Jones. You're fucking making the playoffs this year with Mac. Like, fine. You're just fine. Things get weird sometimes. But with this roster, I mean, you had no wide receivers. You had no linebackers. You had no defensive ends last year. You had none of that. Still won 12 games and a playoff game on the road against the defending Super Bowl champs. Like, now you're getting back all those freaking players. And you're adding Mac Jones puts a variable into 2026 success. Because if you trade Mac, you might get a great draft pick. You're going to take a wide receiver, might take a corner, might take an edge rusher, might take an offensive lineman. That's great. Who's your backup quarterback? For Kyle Shanahan, he values the quarterback position more than anything. You remember Kyle Shanahan was the coach whenever he lost three quarterbacks in one game? And freaking had Christian McCaffrey back there freaking playing quarterback with the play call wristband. I don't know. And I'm not against trading Mac. If somebody gave me a top 50 pick, I'm trading him. But you also didn't know teams were going to be okay having Geno Smith as your starting quarterback, right? Like, what the hell is that about? Like teams are just making some weird, yeah, we're cool with this. Gardner Minshew's the starting quarterback in division. You weren't going to trade him in division. But like the musical chairs of quarterbacks, you've got teams out there saying, yeah, we're cool tanking. That 2027 draft class is going to be incredible. It really is. And so back to the question of trading that 27th overall pick. I'm just going to put this out there. I would be okay trading that 27th overall pick for a 2027 first-round pick. I said that before on the show. And it kind of goes against the wind now, whatever else. But that next year draft class, it's going to be one for the ages. And I know a lot of times whenever we talk about that, it has to do with quarterbacks and whatever else. But you look at offensive linemen, how long is Trent going to play? You look at wide receivers, next year's wide receiver class might rival that of freaking the 2014 draft. Yeah, the Mike Evans, you know, Odell Beckham, that Sammy Watkins draft. Like, next year's draft class is going to be that damn good. So, oh man, oh, I don't know, man. That is, now nobody's trading 2027 picks, and the one team that did backed out of it. That was the Baltimore Ravens, right? The one team that gave up premium 2027 draft picks said, actually, you know what? Let's send Max Crosby back. We're going to FedEx that dude back across the country. Give us back those 2027 picks. Next year is a very, very unique draft, and it's already building that way. I don't know, man. If there was a way that you can get some of those future things, and so again, go back to Mac Jones, right? Let's say hypothetically, 49ers are doing well in this season. They're making a run. You get to that trade deadline. There's another team that is quarterback needy. Somebody gets injured, and it's not the 49ers. Then you trade Mac Jones for a 2027 pick. Hey, now, that's something we're not talking about. This ain't the best draft class. It's really, really not. There's going to be gems. There's going to be studs. But I'm telling you right now, next year is off the freaking charts. So keeping Mac Jones as an insurance policy with at the trade deadline, let's say you're a piece or two away, or you want to get next year's draft capital, that's there. You don't have to move Mac Jones right now. And even if you do keep him, he's going to sign for a big contract. You're going to get a compensation pick in the future. There's options. There's options. They are there. And so, yeah, I'm not sure I fleshed that out very well, but I'm just saying, man, I'm not upset with the way the 49ers have handled this offseason. I, in fact, am ecstatic. I love the Luke Gifford deal. I love that Luke Gifford deal. And kind of a litmus test for people that I hate saying this a lot of times, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you're upset about Luke Gifford getting extended for 2 years, $5 million, man, you do not understand football. That dude was a stalwart, one of the best special teams player in the NFL. And then I had somebody say like, oh, well, he didn't stop that touchdown against Seattle. So I put the screenshot up there of the Luke Gifford did his job completely and still almost made the tackle despite being tackled and tripped on that play. He did his damn job. You had three other players not doing their job. But anyway, Luke Gifford being signed, that's huge. Drake Greenlaw returning. Are you freaking kidding me? Mike Evans, Hall of Famers now on your team. The Osa trade, I like it more and more as time goes on. The more film I watch, the more I like it. Sam O coming back. That's my dude. Brett Toth, Vidarian Lowe. You have depth, veteran depth now at the offensive line. Is Brett Toth going to start at left guard? I don't like that. But at least you have somebody that's played. Oh, I freaking love it, man. This offseason is just looking wonderful in its current state. And, you know, I put out there and just kind of asked, how are people feeling about, you know, this offseason so far? And I asked everybody, so I want to ask you guys, which move in this offseason so far is your favorite? Like, what is it that has stood out to you as like this move? And I understand, like, you don't have to, it's not just pick one and that's what it is, but I do think that it puts us in the exercise of, man, there's some great freaking moves that have happened just since this offseason. And I asked Twitter, I put this out there. I said, which is your favorite 49ers move so far this offseason? I gave three options with other in the comments. Mike Evans signing, the OC Odighizuwa, I spelled his name wrong, trade, and Drake Greenlaw returning. And other leaving comments, but Mike Evans, definitely 42% of the vote. This is at about 400 votes total. I just asked about an hour ago. The OC Odighizuwa trade got 36%. And the Drake Greenlaw, 20%. Drake Greenlaw changes everything. It changes everything. I did a whole episode yesterday and screamed and cussed and, you know, was whatever. And, you know, do with that what you want. But anyway, I'm so pumped about that. Hey, Captain, appreciate you, man. Yeah, John Lynch has cooked this offseason. There is a way because I understand human nature and whatever else. But, like, if you're upset with this offseason so far, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Mitchell, John, you make me laugh. It's all good. Be you. Appreciate you, Mitchell. I know you have a lot more negative. I think you said earlier it was like a D offseason. Man, you must have. If you hate this offseason, you had to love offseason last year. If you hated last year, you got to love this year. Like, they're two completely different things. You can't hate both and you can't love both, right? And maybe you can. Bootlickers probably can. And I don't know. Scott says his favorite's the Osa. I love that. The missing piece this offseason is signing Trent Williams. Trent Williams ain't going to give you a break. He's going to do it the last day. Trent Williams cares about money more than anything. When people show you who they are, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Dude's made over $200 million in his career. He's good at it. If you're good at something, never do it for free. There's my Heath Ledger little whatever. Trent Williams is that. Deserves his money. He's that damn good. But Trent Williams signing a deal now, he has never signed a deal until the deadline. You can go back to his time in Washington. You can go back to the trade to come to the 49ers. You can go back to his first deal with the Niners. You can go back to his second deal with the Niners. Now his third deal. Every single one of Trent Williams' deals, last day possible. He's going to milk it, milk it, milk it, milk it. And if that means he doesn't get a practice and play, and that's going to sacrifice the quality of play, he does not care. That is not important to him. Again, it's not the first, not the second, not the third time. Trent Williams going to wait. Even if the Niners gave him a deal that he probably wanted, I still don't think he would sign right now. That ain't going to change. But yeah, the way this offseason is looking, you better be keeping Trent Williams. Definitely don't cut him. Do not release him. Do not give him a solid. You've paid him top of the market money. Do not release him. Let him go sign with a rival. Gosh, don't do that. Captain says, Osa, getting that interior pass rusher was such a need. Most weren't talking about. Me and Ant, we've talked so much about you have to have pass rush from the inside. I think that's huge. Mitchell, let's see how today ages by week 8. Clicked on the save button. Yeah, for sure. I mean, shoot, so much stuff could go right. So much stuff could go wrong. Football is 100% injured sport. Injury rate, it's what it is. Yeah. Dude, I have so many bad takes. Like, I love it when people like, you know, I'll post up and people bookmark it, which is totally cool. Book my stuff and call me out when I'm wrong. I have takes on everything. The difference is we put our takes out there. But yeah, I don't mind being wrong. I don't want to be wrong. But yeah, I'm a little more in line with Terror here. What's up, Terror Dome? Legend. He says, we're killing it. Morris, Eberflus, Evans, Greenlaw, Osa. Dude, I love the coaching staff. Are you kidding me? Love this coaching staff. It's awesome. Scott says, you know, we got a top 10 defensive tackle for a third rounder. That's my favorite. Ooh. Scrooge, go get Joel Bitonio and Joey Bosa. Older and older. You like those old guys, but veteran established. Both those guys, scheme fits for sure. I'm a little lower on Joey Bosa than most. Not because I think his play has gone down. It's just kind of like Trent Williams. He ain't taking no value. You are paying top pass dollar for Joey Bosa, and I'm not sure I want to do that. I want a speed edge guy. Joey Bosa is great. He would make the 49ers better. He ain't going to give you no value deals. Nick Bosa ain't giving you no value deals. Yeah, that's what it is. Khalil, what's up, man? I love Fired Up Chapman. The Enforcer is back. That's right, baby. Dre Greenlaw. I would go Mike Evans, Dre Greenlaw, Osa. And the only reason why I put Osa 3 is because you gave up the third-round pick. I really wanted a third-round pick. I think that's a sweet spot in this draft, but that's okay. I love all three of the moves. I really, really do. And the more I watch Osa, the more I want it. At Mitchell, I wanted to trade for Carter. That makes more sense now. Yeah, do not trade for that man. Do not trade for that man. Do not trade for that man. You got to trade premium for Jalen Carter. You got to pay premium for Jalen Carter. And you got to worry about all the offseason stuff, off-field stuff. And you got to worry about him crying during football. Nah, man. I'm out. He's a damn good player. Way too many question marks for me. Way too many question marks. But that's okay. It's perfect to disagree. And, like, that is all. That's why these conversations happen. These are opinions. And I'm a fan. You're a fan. We don't have to agree. But we ain't got to be mean to each other. Hopefully I'm not being mean to you, Mitchell. I think you're freaking awesome. And I appreciate you being here. And keep sharing your ideas. I tell this story all the time. You know, my dad had season tickets to the Braves. And he was the most negative fan ever. 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 Every single game. Nothing but F-bombs and whatever else. But, yeah, like you be your fan. One of the pillars of this show, the idea was let's create a more positive fan experience. You might not be ready for that. And that's okay. That's okay. There are lots of negative shows out there that could, you know, whatever. But that's just my personality, right? Like that's who I am. So I don't want to be somebody I'm not. And I have had job opportunities to go work for other platforms and networks. And basically they told me you're going to not be a fan anymore. We're going to do a lot more negative and kind of clickbait stuff. They even said that. And I'm just like, no, like, I'm sorry. And they say like how much they'll pay me. And I'm like, pause, then no, because yeah, that's where the money is, but I ain't that guy. And I hope I'm not going to be that guy. So whatever I do, hopefully I don't ever, but if I ever do sell out, y'all freaking charge my ass up If I sell out, y'all better be in my mentions, dragging me. Do not let me be that guy. Please don't let me be that guy. But yeah, if I ever get to be that guy, man, y'all drag my rear end like I am Brandon Ayuk holding a team hostage, not helping people out. Yeah, anyway. yeah, whatever. Now, a couple other just quick notes. Man, Eddie Pinheiro's deal comes out. 4 year, $17 million deal was what it was announced, but it comes out, it's a lot less than that. Like most contracts in today's NFL, a lot of funny money, a lot of whatever. It turns out it's only a 3 year, $12 million deal. Shout out to Nick Wagner for putting all the details out there. The fourth year is non-guaranteed with some options tied to it. It's essentially just a 3 year, $12 million deal for a kicker, which is awesome. Now, if he hits awesome and, you know, you renegotiate or he plays into that fourth year deal, great. But a 3 year, $12 million deal for the best kicker in the NFL last year, I love that. I love that. On top of that, the 49ers and the way they build their cap structure and incentives, they got $20.6 million adjusted cap added onto this year's salary cap. That's bonuses not hit. A lot of that had to do with Brandon Ayuk rolling forward what you didn't spend last year, which the Niners do every single year. They're always at the top of the effective cap space. So the $20.6 million was the second most of the NFL. The Tennessee Titans were first. So a little bit extra gravy. So you're going to see a lot of those salary cap trackers tick up a little bit. That's going to be there. So that is there. And then, like, yeah, I love it, man. Filthy Casual says, please don't change, John. Y'all charge me up, man. Terado, yeah, lean into your idea. I get asked a lot of times about people wanting to start podcasts and whatever else. And like the first thing I always say to them is, well, two things. I say, if you're not having fun recording it, they're not having fun listening to it. So do something you enjoy. And then the second thing is be yourself, because what if your show takes off? And what if you have to do 600 plus episodes of this damn show and you got to flip a switch on your personality every time? This is show, what was it? 1619 of the 49. Like, how exhausting would that be to like flip a switch and change your personality that often? That sucks, man. Be you. And if people don't like you, then they're not going to watch you. Then maybe you can change your personality. No, don't do that. Like, people are going to like you if you put out good stuff. And so just be yourself, man. Like, freaking, don't be, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so Terradome. And everybody go check out Terradome's show. It's awesome, man. It's such a great man. I've been able to hang out with this dude in person and break bread. Well, we drink beers together. But, like, dude, just such a freaking legend. So if you want more positive, quality, informed 49ers content, go type in Terradome wherever you watch and or listen, and trust me, you're going to be happy. Like, he's such a great freaking dude, man, and his show's awesome. So appreciate you, Terror. You're the freaking man. I see people arguing in there. It's okay. I love all you guys. Disagreements are great. anyway, yeah, right here, man. Khalil, we need to set this up. My man, he says, get Chapman on with Terradome. Yeah, Terror, let's talk, man. Let's do a show together. I would like that very, very much, as a matter of fact. So sorry, I'm just such a stick in the mud sometimes. I'm just so set in my repetitive ways. That's a major negative of me. But yeah, Terror, we'll talk, man. We'll talk. We'll get that set up. Now, this is something I'm getting some negatives on Twitter for, so I'm going to share this. Diane Russini, which you love her or you hate her, whatever, she put out there, there are two teams, the Patriots and the Rams, that are making strong pushes to land Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown. Now, here's what I tweeted, and I was going to put a bunch of qualifiers on it, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to. I'm going to let whatever. Here's what I said. Is it weird that I kind of want the Rams to win this trade and get A.J. Brown? Kind of do. Here's what I'm thinking. Like, I understand the Rams are awesome and that would make them better now. The Rams are kind of pushing their chips in and whatever else. But, like, that implosion when Matthew Stafford, one of the oldest quarterbacks in the NFL, does hang up the cleats or gets injured, it's over. Like, the Rams are going to be decimated for a decade. And now, Stafford keeps playing. And yeah, Trent Duffy's a stud, but they gave up premium capital for draft picks and paid top of the market money. If they trade for A.J. Brown, which it's the Eagles are saying first plus, so they're giving up a first rounder plus, like, I get it. Will it make the Rams better this year? Yes. Do I like that? God, no. But part of me is just sitting here saying, like, man, when Stafford's gone, like, I truly do think Mike McVay's done. Sean McVay. Mike McVay's different. McVay, sorry about that. I think McVay's going to retire or go to whatever. Like, I think he's almost done. So, like, I'm just like, that franchise is just going to go back to where the Rams belong. Same old sorry-ass Rams. So part of me is just like, dude, I wouldn't be mad if they paid a premium. So, like, if it's a first plus, if they give up a first-round pick plus, then I'm okay with it. And you look at the Rams right now and kind of – they already trade. They have the 13th overall pick that they got with because of the Falcons, right? Was it the Falcons? I think it was the Falcons. Yeah, it was the Falcons. So they have that pick. They traded their other first-round pick to get Trent McDuffie. So, like, dude, if you're going to – and A.J. Brown's awesome. Like, that. This is not a slight against A.J. Brown, but dude's got some weird stuff about him, no doubt about it. I don't know, man. I don't know. And right here, Monkey, this is the nuanced approach here. Didn't we say that the Rams were going to implode like 5 years ago? Matt Stafford stuck around. Matt Stafford's still playing. That's the difference. The coach is still there. When Matt Stafford goes, I think the coach goes. I could be wrong, but how old's Matt Stafford now? That little stinker. I want to look at his contract too. Let me pull this up real quick. Y'all give me just a real quick second. Matt Stafford, he's 38 and he's got cap hits. He's got dead money till 2034. I'm not even joking. That's not an exaggeration. There are void years on Matt Stafford's deal all the way to 2034. 2034. He's got a $48 million cap hit this year, and there's just dead money on dead money on dead money on dead money on dead money. Matt Stafford's incredible. And yeah, Monkey, I did say that, but Matt Stafford's still there. Who would have thought Stafford was going to play until he's 39, 40 years old. Oh, man. So I don't know. Again, not as fleshed out as, you know, most of my takes or whatever, but my initial thought was, dude, if they give up that 13th overall pick to get A.J. Brown for 3 years and top-end money, and then Stafford retires, and then McVay leaves, and then, like, dude, they don't have the, like, I'm just saying, I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't be mad at it. But if they get him for less than that first, then I'm like, okay, that's not cool. Lyle, appreciate the super chat. John, how much salary cap do the Niners have, and will they sign an edge rusher? So I'm going to give you two separate kind of where's it at? There we go. Come on. Let's go. Where's my contracts? Active contracts. Anyway, over on over the cap, the 49ers are currently sitting at $27 million cap space. Now, you have to kind of do – it's a little bit weird because whenever you look at just kind of how the cap works, a lot of these deals haven't been announced yet. So, like, what's been taken off, what's haven't. If you go over to Spotrac, they have the 49ers at $28.9 million cap space. So these professional accounts that all they do is track this, they're not even in agreement. Is there room to sign a speed edge rusher? The answer is yes. The question, is that really an option with what's out there? That's kind of the issue. So, like, again, let's pull up the free agents that are available right now as edge rushers. There's not a lot there. And it's not pulling up. Let's refresh the site. I think the site just crashed.
which it does that a lot. Here we go. All right. Here are your edge rushers. Joey Bosa. It's too pricey for me. He's projected to get like $13 million. I think that's too much. You could afford it, but I don't know. Leonard Floyd, no. Cameron Jordan, not a speed edge guy. He's freaking 36, but I'd be cool with that. Von Miller, 36. All right. Dante Fowler, 31. A little more likely. Hassan Riddick, he fits that mold, but not my favorite. Derek Barnett, I'd be cool with. There's just not much. Joe Tryon, I'd be cool with. There's not great out there. There's not great out there. The way to get speed edge rushers on a cheap fix is the draft, and you can get that in the first round. That's why I just kind of keep going back to, dude, I think edge is kind of the way to go in the first round. You look at these, Akeem Mezador, yes, go get him. R. Mason Thomas, Cassius Howell. And I'm going to be harping on these guys. Derek Moore, Romello Heights out of Tech they just met with. He would be kind of a second round speed edge rusher. Joshua Josephs, go get him. Danny Dennis Sutton, Malachi Lawrence, a lot of people really, really like him. Anthony Lucas, like there are guys out there that fit that kind of mold in the first and second round. First round, you're going to have options. Second round, you got to get lucky because usually those guys go in the top 50 picks because every single team has them. Every single team has them. Every single team needs them. So could they sign another edge rusher? Yes. Will they? Not a lot out there available. Sometimes you can only shop for what's on the shelves, and those shelves are bare. Draft is the way to get that guy. And I just gave you a whole list of them. So, fun show. The vibes are high. I'm so pumped about this offseason. Hopefully you are, too. And if you're not, that's okay. We still love you. And, man, our Australia, if you are even thinking about going to Australia, go put your deposit down, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All the details are listed on the site. You'll see the itinerary, everything it includes, everything it doesn't. I mean, it's all there. You have questions, ask questions, but it's 100% refundable deposit. We're trying to build out how many people are going to go so that we can make sure we have what's necessary for everybody or if we've got to do more. So that's there. So head over there, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Vibes are high. I am pumped. You guys are the best, and I really do appreciate you spending your time. Go check out the 49ersRush.com. Go watch. We got breakdown videos of every single player the 49ers have added. So you can go watch the game tape, the All-22, and I highlight what they do well and all that stuff. I show you everything. So if you want to learn about football, go to the 49ersRush.com right now. Sign up for a 7-day free trial. Start clicking around on those 49ers player breakdown videos. Watch some draft tape. Man, everything you want's over there. Appreciate you guys, and until next time, stay strong, faithful.